I connected with three people a day all through January, every day for 31 days straight. I did a connect call with someone I knew, someone I didn't know, and one of my customers. My business just blew up. Like, again, it goes back to when you're connecting, you're making things happen, and then other people are going, oh my gosh, you know who you need to talk to? You need to talk to so-and-so. If you do really good customer service, it's fun.
You're listening to the Woman of Value podcast. You are about to hear the story of a woman who is following her dreams and passions and creating positive change in the world. My guest today is Belinda Ellsworth. She is a trailblazer in coaching and speaking with over 25 years of experience. She has built three successful businesses, and she has spoken to tens of thousands of professionals all across the globe. She has a podcast. It's called Work From Your Happy Place, and she's got over 500 episodes. And she's also a brand enthusiast for everyday entrepreneurs with her My Happy Place subscription box and the Everyday Entrepreneur Planner. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
What does Woman of Value mean to you, Belinda?
I think every woman has a tremendous amount of value. And I think sometimes we don't always recognize that in ourselves. And I know my husband, it was just 30 minutes before I came on here, I was getting frustrated with technology, as I often do. And I'm like, I don't know how to do anything. He's like, I'm not going to let you say that. Yes, you do. Uh-huh. That was just the argument we had like 5 minutes ago, because I'm constantly telling other people, don't say that about yourself. But sometimes it gets frustrating. And I think people in general do it, but I think women do it more, is we have to wear so many hats in life, and we're so many things to so many people that it makes it easier to focus on our downfalls instead of focusing on the value that we bring to all of those spaces. So when I think of women in value, I just think of women in general and how awesome they are. They're just like, you know, I was at the grocery store yesterday, and a lady had a sticker in her window, and it said, Wonder Woman lives in here. I just was like, that's so awesome. I just thought, how awesome of you to see that about yourself. It made me smile as I was walking into the grocery store.
I love that. I also really hear you on the fact that so many women have so many balls in the air, and they focus so much on everyone else that they often forget their own self-care and their own value. I just spent almost a month with my oldest daughter in Israel, and she's the mom of three young kids. And that's a hard time when your kids are really young and you're focusing on them and on the house and on the husband and on her own budding career again as she starts to take some steps to get back to work. And I was noticing how much she put everybody else first, and her own exercise, eating healthy, all those things came last.
Yep.
And from the minute she got married, I kept saying, take care of yourself, take care of yourself first. She didn't get it until now, like now when it really matters, because she was feeling it. But it's easy to say, I certainly didn't. And so I think that it's easy for me to look back in hindsight and say, these are important things. We have to recognize our value, recognize how awesome it is to be able to do all that we do. So speaking of which, let's go to your moment or moments when you began to really discover and own your own value.
Of course, there's been several throughout time, but I think in as far as my career, it was really when I started getting literally, I mean, it started out as hundreds of testimonials and cards. I mean, I've saved so many of them. I have a huge basket of them, of just people saying, you changed my business. You know, this changed my life. Like, I took what you said and immediately put it into action, and I actually saw results. And so then I started to really not just try to do a good job at what I was doing, but suddenly take ownership of the impact of my job and that what it has on somebody else's life and their family and their existence. And at first I was so thrilled that I was able to bring that And so I just said, well, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. And then I thought about that long and hard too, about, of course, I would think people should say thank you when they're given a compliment. And I think sometimes women have a hard time. We like to apologize it away. And so I'm always teaching, accept the thank you. But in that particular case, I started to realize, I got to give that back. I got to give that value back because it's important. And so then I started responding, well, thank you, but I just gave you the tools. You did it yourself. You took them and you put them into action. And then that was even a pivotal moment in understanding my real value. Yes, I'm glad that I'm doing a good job, but I'm glad that it helps others to take action and reap the benefits for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally relate to what you're saying. I think that when you first realize how people are impacted, it can be surprising. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like you thought you'd never impacted that person. I know you talked about in the form you filled out, you talked about a time when you spoke from the stage and you thought your speech didn't go very well. And then somebody came up to you and told you otherwise. Can you talk a little bit about what happened there?
It actually was even deeper than that. And every one of us have been here, but it was my second time speaking for this company. And sometimes when that's the case, a lot of repeat people. And so they're not as maybe as enthused. And definitely I did not have as much back of the room sales because people had already bought the year before or whatever. And so I was just feeling kind of down about it. I didn't do as great a job. My sales aren't very good. I was feeling like my day wasn't as good as it could be. And I was feeling a little down about that. And so I decided to go to the bathroom. And before I went back up on stage, and as I was coming out, a woman kind of stopped me, and she was literally nearly sobbing. And she said, I saw you last year. And I got your materials. And then suddenly my husband was ill. He had cancer. And she said he couldn't work. And we have three small kids. And I had to take the ownership. And so I took all your stuff and I did everything by the book, everything. And my whole business doubled. And she's crying. And she said, you literally saved our family. Like, we would have lost our home. So then I thanked her so much for that. I gave her a big hug. And then I went back into the stall and I was sobbing because I felt that I had been incredibly selfish and self-centered and feeling like the day was a bust. And then it just reminded me that we impact people all the time and we have no idea of just one small act of kindness or one small thing you say that someone takes and it impacts their life or the things you train them. And just because sometimes people don't take the things until rubber meets the road for them. And then they're like, oh my gosh, I have to step up to the plate now because my whole family's counting on me. But it just reminded me that we just don't really realize the ripple effect that we have when we are showing up. And it made me go back into the second half. Instead of feeling like woe is me or does it matter if I'm here, it made me go back into the second half delivering a much better speech than I probably would have before that.
I got goosebumps hearing this story because it is just amazing what a difference it made to her that you hadn't even been aware of. And that was a huge thing that she shared with you. I mean, just changing her whole life. So I can imagine how that must have felt to you. And I love that you talk about showing up. And it's actually my book, The Woman of Value book. It's called Becoming a Woman of Value. And it's all about the three pillars of core confidence are show up, stand up, and speak up. And it's really about thriving in our lives. And I think that the first step to me is always show up, like just show up, mm-hmm. show up and know your value, know your values and don't underplay who you are. Don't diminish who you are.
Absolutely.
Take us to the present, to like the work that you do. Give us a little more context around what it is that you do and how you do change lives.
Well, I've been a sales trainer for 25, almost 30 years now. And so I do speak to a lot of sales organizations, just teaching people how to better do their job. And I still do that and teach on basic skill sets like goal setting and time management and systems and operations and analytics. And I teach a lot of those hard skill sets. And but I've had the podcast now for 6 years, and it really was about empowering individuals to hear inspirational stories and for people to like actually enjoy what they do, love what they do. And so it became more entrepreneurial, and it's just stories. We interview entrepreneurs and we interview artists who are attempting to earn a living at their craft, and whether they're singers or dancers or actual physical artists. But I just love it because I think it helps people no matter where they are in their journey, whether they haven't started the journey. And I mean, I had a woman on my podcast that wrote me. So she had been listening to my podcast. I didn't know it. Like, we don't know who listens to our podcast. And she wrote me this long testimonial that she used to listen to my podcast every day because she hated her job so bad. And then one day she was pulling over on the side of the road and she was sobbing so hard as she was driving to work because she hated her job so bad. And that she started looking into franchises. She bought a franchise, and now she's writing me a year later that her franchise was already like doing so well. And it's because she listens to this all the time. It inspired her to leave. It inspired her to do better. And she said, "I just wanted you to know my life is completely different, and it was because of your show." And then I just thought, gosh, we need to bring this full circle. So then I had her on the show as an entrepreneur who had stepped into her space and, you know, took that risk or said, okay, I'm going to start a business. And then we also really speak to people who maybe have a business, but they're trying to scale it and they're trying to learn things from other people in their journey. And I think one of the most inspirational things when you're feeling, I don't know, maybe at a crossroads or a little bit lost, is when you get into that space, you feel, no matter how much experience you've had, if you get into that space, you feel like you're all alone in it and that nobody else has gone through this or nobody else feels this way. And I'm feeling lost. And I really do believe that that's one of the things that the podcast does, is help people say, no, you're just stuck. You know what I mean? But other people have been where you are, and this is how they got unstuck. And I think sometimes just knowing somebody else has traveled your road it's inspiring. It's motivating. It helps you to go, okay. Sometimes it even just helps you to say, okay, I'm not alone here. So I have to get off my pity party and just get moving. Right. Because that is getting stuck. And so it helps people in that way too. And so that's what I'm doing today. And we are actually launching a community around that whole experience to take people deeper if they want to. So we have a subscription box called My Happy Place, but it also has an online community with it. And we help people no matter where they are in their journey with experts and masterclasses and online journaling and all kinds of really wonderful things to help people navigate their journey.
What you said about building community, about people not feeling alone, it is so important. I mean, and during the pandemic, it was even more important to have people not feel so isolated. But no matter what you do, I think you're right. People often feel, I'm the only one. Nobody else, this doesn't happen to anyone else, or they're afraid to talk about not earning enough money. It feels shameful. You know, it's like, how do I even start? I don't know what to do. I started my business without any guidance. I went to coaching school and they don't give me business knowledge. They just gave me coaching knowledge. It was helpful, but how do you get clients? How do you run a business? How do you start a lead generating? You know, it's like all of these things that I had to learn by taking courses and learning from other people. But I never would talk about money. Like, how much do you earn? How much do I earn? Do I earn enough in comparison? Am I charging enough? There's a lot of questions that people have when they're working in a bubble. And I think it's great that you bring this to the world. I was a starving artist for a long time also, so I can relate to both being an entrepreneur and an artist. And I actually left the art world because it was too hard to make a living. And I didn't think I could ever charge enough dollars for hours. And I didn't know how to do anything else. And so I didn't feel valued. And coaching absolutely makes me feel valued. But I know today, if I went into trying to make a living at my craft, I could probably find many other ways to earn money without having to just be dollars for hours.
Absolutely. And I think that's, it's fun too, because I think the creatives are really good at building their own community and fan base and keeping them connected, where they're not as good at the exact same things that even, like you said, right? It's like, well, how do I run a business? And that's where some business entrepreneurs are much better than that, but they really struggle with building a fan base and building your client base and how do we get really connected? How do you create stellar customer service? You know, we call it customer service, but really engaging with your fan base is stellar customer service. And but a musician wouldn't call it that. You know what I mean? It's just really interesting. That's why I combined the two, is I think that both sets of people have really different sets of skills that when combined, it makes for a really nice combination of skill sets that are well-rounded to help each of those types of individuals.
Yeah, I agree. And I think because I happen to be both, I think I also have a very organized brain. And so I like systems, which is not typical of artists. I have a good right and left brain combination of a balance. And I was willing to do the work to build the client base and engage in social media and do things consistently, like start a Facebook group. And I have a whole other business besides this one and my dating coaching and relationship coaching practice. And so that's where my main business is. This is sort of my side business that I do because it's a passion of mine. And I've built a huge following in the dating world, in the dating space, but it took a lot of effort and not a lot of guidance. And so having somebody who can guide you is just so important. And knowing you can trust somebody is really important.
It is. It's interesting because I put myself in like, I've taken so many courses too, just like yourself. And actually I've had to redo that more recently because so much has changed in the way that we do business and in having this whole online presence and social media, and you got to kind of, you know, stay up to date with everything. And so I found myself taking multiple courses again. And I know that there's so many times when I'm taking them, I just have questions and like, who do you ask? And you can't go back to them. And I have even like emailed sometimes some of the course people, and you just don't, you feel like, golly, if I could just get stuck in, how do you move forward in that? Or if I could just get this one question answered. And so that is really what our community is about, is this is where you can get your questions answered. If we have a masterclass or we have an expert guest that month, and we're also having authors on there. We're doing a book club every month, and it's like, if you've got questions, then you can get answers, and that moves you forward. So I'm pretty excited about it. I have a partner in that, and she is, she's got her coaching certification, and she does more of the soft skills, where I'm more of the, she does the personal development and mindset and a lot of the other things. I teach to that a little bit, but it's definitely my wheelhouse is all the other things that I mentioned. And so I think the combination of the two of us is going to be pretty dynamic. So
yeah, that is exciting. So if you were to give our audience some tips, people who are entrepreneurs or people who are looking to grow their sales, what would you say are some of the key tips that you could give people?
Gosh, so many in regard to sales, but I would say I teach this sort of three sides of excellence. And I always go back to this because I think this is where it starts, but master your craft. So get better at what you do, like whether that is learning more about it, having more experience, having experiential knowledge, like it's like master your craft. What is it that you really want to do? The second is show up with a really good work ethic. And there's so much around that, but that could be everything from, you know, working smarter, like creating systems, how you schedule your day, being more efficient with your day. But it also work ethic shows up in your integrity and your honesty and being on time and doing what you, making sure that others can count on you for what you said they can count on. So work ethic is kind of really actually pretty big. And you have to get honest about that. Do I have a good work ethic? Like I said, oh, I didn't have enough time today, but how did I use my day today? Did I just check off a bunch of to-do lists or what things did I do that were productive, that were income producing? You know, like how did I really show up today? And then the third one is huge. And it's the one that a lot of people tend to leave out. And it is networking. And I've even changed networking to connecting, like, because I, people get confused about networking, like, oh, I got to go to a networking event or I've got to whatever. And so in January, for example, I was feeling like I had been telling people to make 3 connect calls a day. I found that during COVID, people have just like shrunken backwards and they're having a really hard time just motivating themselves. That's what I'm hearing from everybody. I know what I need to do. I can't motivate myself to do it. So I'm like, all right, what could they do that would be a baby step that would start to create some momentum that maybe if they started to see some results, then they want to do more. So I suggested this 3 connect calls a day. Just reach out to 3 people a day. Anybody can reach out to 3 people a day. And then I decided in January, you know what? I'm going to show up and do this. Like, and then I'm going to actually have real data around it. So I connected with 3 people a day all through January, every day for 31 days straight. And I did a new person, like brand new, like reached out to them on LinkedIn, reached out to them on Instagram, asked for a referral. Do you know of anyone I could talk to in regard to this? So I got a new person every day. I reached out to a person that maybe I hadn't chatted with in like a colleague or someone I had met along in my journey, like from 3 years ago or 4 years ago. So reconnect. I did a connect call with someone I knew, someone I didn't know, and one of my customers. So that was what I made every day. And my business just blew up. Like, again, it goes back to when you're connecting, you're making things happen. And then other people are going, oh my gosh, you know who you need to talk to? You need to talk to so-and-so. And, oh, I love what you're doing. Or, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to you in a while. You know what? I've been meaning to order your planner. Like, where's the link to that? And I didn't even call for a sales call. It's like, if you do really good customer service, it's fun and you get sales and you get leads and you get referrals. And when people feel like they're valued, that's your whole show. That's the biggest thing in sales. Is make other people feel valued. Don't just try to sell them what you want to sell them, but show up and make them feel valued, listen to their needs, and act like you genuinely care about people, and they'll buy from you all day long and they'll refer others to you all day long. So that's my biggest, those are my biggest tips.
Those are great tips. They cover quite a bit there. And you know, it's interesting because mastering your craft involves a lot of steps. It involves practicing and keep going and learn as you go. So you're not just repeating the same behaviors when they're not really working. And because hours add up. And then, I mean, I know for myself, I found my voice years after I was coaching. I wasn't sure what my area of expertise was. What was the thing that I kept coming back to? What was I really good at? What was I different at than other people? We don't know these things right away, right out of the gate often. Sure. Right?
Right.
And the work ethic, I see so many people in my industry who are not consistent with they may start a podcast and then 10 episodes later they're done, or they had a newsletter that went out weekly and they touched their audience base and then they stopped. That's one thing I pride myself on, is I'm consistent. I've been doing podcasting for 10 years. I have, in my other podcast, I have about 560 episodes. It just, you get better at it, right? You get better at it. People know they can expect it. You don't just have a series and then you're done. And then the networking piece, that used to freak me out. Because I'm an introvert, basically, I never wanted to walk into a room of strangers and do cold conversations. But when I looked at it as fun, like you said, it can be fun, then it was fun. And I was making new friends and I didn't just hit people up for sales. I just wanted to get to know people and know what they did and have them know what I did. And so all of it is so important. I think these three are definitely are things to remember.
Absolutely. And then the diagram when I teach this live is like, it's like a triangle. So you got your three points, but in the center is you. And that then is that belief that you have in yourself and that self-confidence. But it's really interesting because people want that first. And actually that grows when you develop all three of these sides on the outer, out of the outer rim, that just starts to evolve and grow on the inside. And it's actually quite amazing. I mean, the more you master your craft and you know, and you start to see results and you hear feedback from people, then it's like, oh, wow, I am pretty good at this. And that confidence level begins to grow. And the same thing with your work ethic. When people say, you know, you're right. You know, like the statistics in podcasting is the literally hundreds of thousands of people that never cross over 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm. It's my 100 listeners. You know, it's amazing. Cause when you think, again, you're alone, podcasting is, you're talking to a black hole, basically. I just spent many years thinking I'm going to quit because nobody cares. Nobody's listening. But something made me keep going. And now it's the primary way that people find me. So it's again, I was not good at it in the beginning. I was very scared and like in my head and not good at listening. And, you know, it just becomes something you get better at with when you're mastering your craft. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage people to pay attention to these three things because they're really golden.
If you have ever played small to make other people feel comfortable, or maybe stayed in a bad relationship or job too long because you didn't think you could do any better, I wrote a book for you. It's called Becoming a Woman of Value, How to Thrive in Life and Love. Each of the 30 chapters contains a life lesson, a story, and an exercise to bring you closer to reaching your full potential. Becoming a Woman of Value is available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle.
So we're going to go now to the lightning round. I'm going to ask you a bunch of quick questions. Are you ready?
I guess so.
Okay. So the first thing,
we don't know. I don't know these.
Oh, good. Okay.
Right? I mean, yeah, you didn't tell me them ahead of time. So,
all right. So the first one is a fill in the blank. I used to think I wasn't blank enough.
I'm going to say smart. I used to think I wasn't smart enough. I struggled for a while, not having gone to college at all. And building my own, you know, kind of empire from that. And then struggling when people would ask, gosh, you know, you've done such an amazing job. Where'd you go to school? And then when you say that you didn't, it's just, it was always a really difficult thing. And I finally got over that.
Good.
It didn't matter.
It really doesn't. And this is a thing actually in the dating world where a lot of people look at education as being a marker for compatibility, and they look for higher degrees of education. And I always say there are brilliant people who never went to college, and they're really stupid people who did go to college. So I have two kids who never finished college and one who did. And I never pushed, you know, it was as long as you are doing something you love and you're a success in life, I don't care if you go to college. It doesn't really determine success, as you are an obvious proof of that. So it's just owning it and saying, I don't need to feel shame around this.
That is it. is finally, there was a crossing point where I went, I never ended up going to school. I thought I was going to be a professional musician. I didn't think I needed that. And then I realized that wasn't going to pan out. So I carved a different path for myself. Mm-hmm. And then it took a while though. It took a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can look, many of us, I think a lot of kids get out of high school and they think they're supposed to know what they're going to do for the rest of their lives and pick the major and go to the right school and do all the right things. And then people switch and pivot so many times. I mean, I've had I can't even count how many careers I've had. And it's just like, you know, I was done with this one. This was done. Go on to the next one, because you can reinvent yourself at any point and you don't need to have college for that.
Exactly.
Next question. What was the number one thing holding you back from becoming a woman of value?
Honestly, I'm going to be really honest, and some people might not like the answer, but my first marriage. I was married for 16 years to someone that didn't really value me. And I stayed with it for that long, knowing many, many times I should not have stayed. But I did for my children. And then I realized that wasn't serving them well either. And when I finally got out of that, it was, and I fought it because I was like, oh, you know, like I felt like a failure kind of. I should be able to make this work. I can make other things work. But it wasn't until I actually, when it was over, that I became free to be me. I became free to show up with all the value that I actually knew that I had, but was always suppressed. And so for me, being in the wrong relationship was not good. And I'm remarried, and it's just such a completely difference when you have someone that values you fully, of the difference of how you can show up. And continue to show up.
Yeah.
And we have a daughter. So my kids are 20 years apart, which is something. And, but raising her has been totally different because of that. And it's been actually quite amazing to see that also. So for me, that's when I think it was.
Well, I appreciate your transparency and vulnerability, because it's very relatable what you're sharing. And I think, you know, from what you shared at the very beginning, your husband was encouraging you. He was saying, don't say those nasty things to yourself, right? So it's clear that this man he has your back. He is fully supportive of who you are. And that's what we need, to surround ourselves with people who love us.
Yes.
Next question. What is the best advice you can give to a woman who wants to become more empowered?
Really discovering, like, we all have levels of, this is a whole nother training within itself, but we all have levels of self-doubt. Like, there's six key contributors to self-doubt. And I think it really is discovering what is yours. Like, what's your Achilles heel that really holds you back? Because once you can identify it, like, that's it. Most people really don't identify it. And once you can figure it out, it doesn't mean that you won't ever have doubt. But what it means is, like, that's why I teach this whole thing on rising above self-doubt. Because once you know it, you see it immediately. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it again. Like, I don't have to do that. I don't have to go there. I'm getting in my own way right now. And I wish women could understand that the only person that really gets in their way is themselves. It's you. And so if the sooner you can discover what causes that, like, what is it that the trigger for you, what's causing that, then you can start to realize it and go, nope, not doing it today. Not having it today. I'm moving on from that. And I think, for me, like, mine is the whole perfectionism. And so I'll start to do something. This was my past more, but, oh, to write a book, I've got to know what the cover's going to look like. I have to know the chapter. I have to know the whole table of contents. I have to know, you know, everything before you even start. And I'm much better now at just starting. and saying, I'll figure it out as I go along. Because as soon as I catch myself going, I've got to do this first and this first and this first, I go, stop it, because you'll never do it. Yeah. So now I just go, all right, let's create a timeline. Let's work our way back. We'll get the details later, but let's go.
And let's go.
That, it took me a long time though, to figure out that that really was not serving me well, because I thought, I just like to get every detail figured out first. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That helped me back for a really long time. In fact, I sat down to write a speech that I want to give tonight. And I sat down this morning to write it. And I wrote the first line and I just froze. And I just was like, I don't know what to say. I have nothing to say. And then I took a walk and I decided to use my voice recorder and just talk it out. And I got the whole speech out. It was like, because writing it stopped me. I said, take another path, because you can do this. And so it's just not letting that voice stop you for good. It's like, find a path, find a way in and get started, because you can't edit what's not there.
Absolutely.
Next. Yes. Next question is, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I would work more diligently at my network. I'm because of that perfectionism, what also comes with that is I can do that by myself. I'll figure it out. I'll figure the way out. And I feel that I'm good at it now, but I work at it now, but had I been younger and really developed my network, had somebody really shared that with me, like I share that with my daughter, and she's just 18, but she just got home yesterday, actually, for the summer from college. And to see the connections she's made this year, and to see how she's done that with different, even the faculty and the people that know her at school, when some people like that's not the case at all. And she has taken those skills that I've taught her, and she is developing that network. And so that's what I would tell to my younger self, is you just have to connect with people always, like, because it's through those connections that somebody says, oh, I know someone that totally could do that. You know, helping you to be top of mind, the more people that you know, and the more that you help other people through being connected, isn't just about what is somebody going to do for me. It is about, I know a bunch of people. And then if you were having a situation, I could say, oh my gosh, I know a person that can help you with that. And then suddenly you are very valuable too. And it just feels really awesome all the way around. And so that's what I would say to my younger self, is work on your network.
Yeah. Having resources, being able to share resources. Something I love doing in my dating coaching practice is I have an image consultant that I give a resource to people who are struggling with their look and their clothing and how to dress for a date. And then I have a nutritionist that I recommend to somebody who was looking to get healthier and feed her family healthier food. And I have a photographer for people who want to get better pictures for online dating. You know, there are go-to people that I trust. And when my name is behind it, and then they will then think of me. And, you know, it's just a beautiful, expansive circle of people who refer each other, and having a network is so, so important. I love it. It makes me feel like the world is a bigger place.
Yes. And I don't think young people sometimes, even now, it's even worse, I think, is that they don't see the value in that, because they're just, their network is real just because they have followers on some social media platform.
It's, yeah.
You got to make some real life connections.
That's not real life. Spoiler alert, right? Next question. What is something, Belinda, that people get wrong about you?
I'm super intense. Like when I am like really wanting to get something done and I'm super intense, a lot of people take that to be that I'm not friendly, I'm not approachable, that I'm like, when I'm focused, I am super focused. And even my staff sometimes says, are you upset with me? And I'm thinking, heavens, no. But I think that that comes across sometimes as unapproachable or whatever. And I'm just super intense. And so I'm constantly working at that. For me, and I'm also a fixer, like I'm a solution girl. So like, if you say, oh, like you're telling me a problem, instead of just listening to your problem and being an encourager and empathetic, I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And I'm the fixer. And so a lot of people, they take kind of offense to that. And so I don't have it on my wall right now because I think I finally grew enough to take it down, but I actually had a big sign on my wall that said, who have you encouraged today? So when I would be sitting here and I'd be having coaching discussions or somebody, I'd start to go into my, you know, all right, like, let's fix this. And then I'd look up at that little sign and I'd be like, so what do you think? Like, tell me, like, or I can totally understand how you feel. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, stop it. So I think those are the things I think that people think I'm too intense sometimes, but I'm just, yeah. I really just want to help people at the end of the day. Sometimes that helping them comes across as bossy or intrusive or sometimes too much.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that too. I mean, it's look, I'm a coach, so it's all I think about is how to problem solve, but really my job is to empower other people to problem solve for themselves. Number one. And number two, in my personal life, like with my children, instead of going to solution, I've really trained myself to start with empathy. And I just heard a really great little thing to remember when you're a problem solver, that when somebody comes to you for help, you can ask them the three H's. Do you want help? Do you want to be heard? Or do you want a hug? And so which of the three H's do you want to start with? And I love that. I think because with my daughter, she used to call up and just vent. And I would say, are you calling to vent or to problem solve? Because if you're calling to vent, I don't have a lot of time for you. If you're calling to problem solve, I'm happy to help. Because she would bring up the same thing over and over and not listen to anything. So I like the heard, helped, or hugged.
I love that too. It's funny because that's a good succinct way of saying it. But I always teach, like, you know, the people in your lives, the huggers, they just go, oh gosh, I love you so much. And you're just so good. Sometimes you call those people because you instinctively know I just need that today. But my girlfriend, if I call her and start, like, she's the kick your butt. Like, she's like, why are you even saying this? Why are you talking? She doesn't necessarily give me the right answers. She tells me I already have the answers. Like, she kicks my butt, right? But then I've got another friend who will be like, all right, let's figure this out. And she's a problem solver. And when I'm that person for people, that friend, I think I'm that girl. Like, come to me when you need an answer or a solution. Mm-hmm. I'll help you. I'm happy to help.
Yeah, no, I have in my 12th grade yearbook, my senior yearbook, Sandy is the go-to girl to help with your problems. It's like, I have been that girl for a very long time.
Same here.
Right? I can relate. We are sisters in the helping department. So finally, Belinda, the final question, how would you like to be remembered? Just a really simple question.
I think about this often. Of course, as you get older, you think about it more. You can't help it. Like, you just start to think about it. And I would like to be remembered as someone who generally cared about other individuals. Like, not just like that she was a great teacher or a great whatever. It's like, I only really do it because I really do genuinely care about helping people get where they want to be, wherever that is. Like, and I hope that that's how I'm remembered, as someone who just generally cared about other people.
I love it. It's beautiful. Well, Belinda, this has just been a wonderful conversation. I love where we went with it, kind of meandered into this beautiful place of caring and connection and the work ethic and all the good stuff that got you here. and how you help other people. If you can share with our audience one link that is the best link to find you, and I'll put all these social media in the show notes.
Sure. I would say workfromyourhappyplace.com. That's our website. And everything there, all the links to everything, how you get in our community, finding out about the podcast, everything is there. So if they want more information on any of the above, that's probably the number one place to go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and being a wonderful example of a true woman of value.
Thank you for having me.
And if you love our show, listeners, please rate and review us. Give us a 5-star rating and review. We really, really appreciate every single one of them. And be a woman of value.
If you would like to step more fully into your value, grab a free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Woman of Value on my website, thewomanofvalue.com. Just click the link at the top of the homepage. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to click the subscribe button in your listening app. And if there's something in this episode that inspired you, please share it with others, because the more we share these inspirational stories, the more women of value we will have in this world. I'll see you next time.